If you have your Bible, I want to point you to John chapter 5. We're going to continue in our John series for the next few moments. I promised the worship team this morning, and I've promised myself all week, that I'm not going to preach a normal sermon. Because if we did, we'd be here for a lot longer than we probably should be. I've tried my best to abbreviate this as much as possible. But we're going to look at John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. I'm going to read that to you, and if you have your Bible, turn there. If not, the words will be on the screen. It says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel.'" Now again, don't forget that the book of John has a theme, and that theme is believing. John 20, 21, all of these things were written so that you might believe, and that by believing you would have life in his name. And so that's where we see the theme and the context of the book of John. And just so you remember, last week we talked about how Jesus healed a paralyzed man of 38 years by the pools of Bethesda. One of the biggest questions that he asked him in that is, "Do you want to be healed?" Right? And we spent a lot of time talking about that. Do you want to be healed? Do you even want to be well? And we talked last week about how that passage is really has a lot to do with the authority of Jesus. And we talked about how some of us, and I had some of you raise your hands, right? Some of us struggle with authority. Amen? Anybody? Apparently somebody in the lobby finds that pretty funny. Get back in church. No. There's people in our lives, right? And you don't have to elbow the person next to you or anything like that, right? But we struggle with authority at times, right? And what Jesus is doing here is he's demonstrating his authority, where he's come from, right? And so he's continuing and talking about the relationship that he has with the Father. Now, this is where he loses the religious leaders. Because the religious leaders, waiting with anticipation for this Savior, right? And now Jesus is claiming to have the same status as God, the same deity, right? He's claiming to be this deity. And the religious leaders are like, "It can't be you." Now, have you ever looked for something? Have you ever looked for something and it just happened to be right in front of your face, but you didn't see it? We talked about that a little bit last week, right? Me and the kids, we're constantly looking for things in the pantry. And Kristen can say, without even going into the pantry, third shelf, far right in the back. How do you do that? How do you do that, right? How does that make, right? But sometimes we can be looking for things, we can be searching for things, we can be searching for answers, we can be searching, and yet it's right in front of us. And that was the case for the religious leaders. As I think about all the things that God is doing in my life right now, I was recently asked, "How do you feel about this thing? How do you feel about this thing?" And I just responded, "I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of God." But I don't know about you, sometimes it's easy to forget or to miss the goodness of God in your life. It's easy for that to get clouded by the things that you need or the way that you feel or the thing that someone said or the thing that you're walking through or the thing that you're, right? But it's true, and that the goodness of God is present in our lives. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "God's been good to you. God's been good to you." And if you doubt that this morning, look who you're sitting next to. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Don't say that. And so Jesus is talking about the authority and the fact that he is the Son of God. "For as the Father," verse 21, "raises the dead and gives him life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly," verse 24, "I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of God, voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And then I love this. Look at verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So let's talk about this for just a few minutes to unpack what is going on here. The first thing I want to remind you of, and it's going to sound a little bit repetitive from last week, but the first thing that we've got to point out here again in these verses 19 through 23 is Jesus' divine authority. Here, he asserts that he does nothing on his own. He does nothing on his own accord. Rather, he does everything in perfect unity with the Father. He does everything in perfect unity with the Father. Now, this can be sometimes hard for us to get. We've got to remember, we're born not as Jesus, where Jesus was born perfectly as the Son of God. We are born with a sin flesh. And so we have to work at doing everything in unity with the Father. Because if you, as a son or daughter, I am confident that many of you in here would hear instructions from mom and dad and think, I know a better way. Right? I know a better way. There's a better way to make this recipe. There's a better way to cut this grass. Right? There's a better way to clean this. And it's not by not cleaning it at all, by the way. But what Jesus is saying in his perfect authority is that everything he does is in unison, in unity with the Father. And we can struggle with that as a people because, again, it's hard for us to do everything in unity with anyone else. Because some of us are constantly evaluating things. Even right now, some of you are probably thinking, why do they do it this way? They should do it this way. It would be a better way. And in the most loving way I can tell you, you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. You're probably right. Right? But I want you to think about that. Jesus is the ultimate authority. Because as a son of God, he does everything in unison with his Father. Nothing we could ever dream of this side of heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. That's why Jesus is amazing. That's why we talk about Jesus all of the time. Because Jesus is the only one that can make a difference in our lives. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do nothing. He can only do, what he sees the Father doing. Again, verse 19, it reveals a deep connection between the Father and the Son, a relationship of perfect obedience, a relationship of unity, a relationship of purpose. And so Jesus goes on to explain that the Father has given him the authority to execute judgment, the authority to give life. Jesus isn't simply a prophet or a teacher as the religious leaders were trying to peg him as. He is the very embodiment of God's authority on earth. His works, healing the sick, raising the dead, calling people to repentance, are all done with the full backing and will of the Father. And that's huge for us. Because as Joey and I were just going back and forth, right? And it's one of the things I always point out just to make people think, right? It's almost like God's in control. The truth is, he's always in control. Nothing, as we talked about last week, happens by accident. Whether it be greatest joy or deepest tragedy. And I know that tweaks some of us, right? Because Travis, you mean to tell me that God, yeah, God might allow some of the most painful things in your life. But you know why He does it? So that you can remember and recognize your desperate need for Him. Or so that He can continue to sharpen and grow you. We've got to remember that Paul talks a lot about this in his letters to the churches. We don't have time to really dive into it too deeply here. But Paul talks about how everything happens to mature us so that we grow up in all things in Christ. And so Jesus is the ultimate authority, and God has given Him the authority to execute, judgment, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, all of those things. We must understand that Jesus is not just a figure of history, a moral teacher. He's the Son of God who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And that's why the Great Commission is so important. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. And so when He calls us to follow Him, it's an invitation. It's not an invitation to consider. When He calls us to follow Him, it's not an invitation to consider. It's really a command to obey. And so the reality is, the question becomes, are we going to follow the command? Are we going to obey the Lord? And so the question for us is, do we recognize the authority of Jesus in our lives? Then He goes on to talk about verse 24. It's kind of a transition verse, and we see some words that He said to the woman at the well in John 4. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes Him who has sent Me has eternal life. Number two, we see the power of life and judgment. Jesus speaks here of the power He has to grant eternal life and the role that He plays in judgment. And the statement not only reveals Jesus' authority to grant eternal life, but also His role as the ultimate judge of all humanity. In Jesus, both life and judgment are found. He offers eternal life to all who hear and believe, but He also solemnly warns of the future judgments that await those who reject Him. And that's a reality. That's a reality. And listen, I'm not trying to preach hellfire. Well, maybe I am, because I think that's what Scripture teaches, right? But I think a lot of times we can fall into the trap as Christians in forgetting that there's not only a heaven, but that there's a hell. And the real people go there. And so I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you this morning, as some might. But we have to face the real reality that people we love are going to face a judgment one day. Well, Travis, I don't want to push people away. I get it. But is the awareness in your mind that people you love are going to stand before God one day and hear one of two things? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or, depart from Me, for I never knew you. And I know the temptation for us is, yeah, but they lived a good life. Yeah, but they did this. Yeah, but they were great morally. They were an awesome person. There are no yeah buts on that judgment. And my fear for us as Christians is that we have become comfortable and even numb to the fact that a lot of people that we know and love, that even sit next to us on Sunday mornings, might hear, depart from Me, I never knew you. That is the weight. That is the weight of following Jesus, in that He is the ultimate authority of judge. And that's also why, hear me, you're not judge. Because if some of us were judge, we'd probably look and say, yeah, you know what? Go ahead. Or I'll excuse this. I'll let this slide. And when you do it in the name of grace, sometimes the most gracious thing that you can do for a person is hold them accountable for their sin and tell them to repent in the name of Jesus. Instead of enabling them to continue to drive a wedge between them and the God of the universe. I don't have time to tell you that story, but sometime you should come and ask me to tell you the story about when I told a few guys at Starbucks the other day the truth. Well, I'll just tell you. I was sitting around a table the other day, and I like pleasing people. Man, I love pleasing people. I like it when you're happy with me. It makes me feel really good. It makes me feel really, really good when you're happy with me. Because it makes me feel like you'll keep coming to the church that I pastor. Right? And so I'll get to still be around you. But if you're not happy with me, that makes me struggle because I'm like, man, are we going to lose a relationship? I don't want to lose you. And so a lot of times I've been guilty in the past 20 years of my ministry of not telling people what they needed to hear, but instead telling people what they want to hear. And I don't know if it's that I'm 40. I don't know if it's that I've felt miserable all week. I don't know if it's the fact that I'm mad about how cold it is. I don't know if it's that the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl. Aren't even in the playoffs, but the referees are letting the Chiefs win every game. I don't know what the bitterness is in my heart that's getting at me, and I don't think it's any of those things. I actually think it's that I'm growing up and maturing as a child of God to tell the truth and not to tell people what they want to hear. But there have been a couple situations in the last 2 or 3 months where I kind of went into a conversation like, thinking to myself, this could go one of two ways. I could either run this thing by the end of it, or I could like lose 4 or 5 friends. And a lot of it depends on my face, right? Anybody ever tell you to fix your face? Or my responses in situations. And so I was a part of a conversation the other day, and I was a little nervous going into the conversation, but I said, you know what? I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. And I went through the conversation and I told the truth. And you know what happened? I was really hopeful that they were going to be like, well, man, thanks for coming, Travis. We'll not invite you anymore. You know what happened? They thanked me for telling the truth. They asked me to lead the thing that I didn't want to lead because I told them I thought it needed to die. That's encouraging, isn't it? You've been leading something for like 14 or 15 years and you have somebody come in and tell you that they think it needs to die so they can be resurrected into something else and continue on. But they thanked me. And so I got back to the church and I waited a day because I was in shock, right? I waited a day and the next day I called Dylan and Kristen into my office and I told them, they both knew the nature of the meeting that I was going to have, and Kristen, you know, I told him what happened, and Kristen looked at me, and she was like, how did that feel for you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, telling the truth to someone. And I'm like, you make it sound like I lie all the time. Like, that's not, I'm not a liar, right? Anyway, right? But it's how did this apply? Religious leaders, right? And so the religious leaders were seeing this man come and tell them he was the Son of God, unapologetically, talking about the power of life and judgment, right? And so it's easy for us to just think, right, like, everybody wants to know how the world's going to end. Everybody wants to know how the world's going to end and how it's going to come and whether or not it's coming, you know, in the next 5 years or five decades or whatever. And what does Scripture say? No one knows the day or the hour. No one. And so that book you bought, waste of money. Right? That, like, no one knows the day or the hour. We can see signs, but you know what? They saw signs 50 years ago. God's timetable is not our timetable. Right? We've got to recognize this as children of God in the Church of Jesus Christ. That God's timing is not our timing. Okay? He works 1,000 years is a day to Him, right? And so God's timing is not our timing. And so everybody wants to know that. And you know why I think everybody wants to know that? It's the same reason that someone came to me about 10 years ago and said, "Hey, Pastor, how many Sundays do I have to attend church a year so that God will be happy with me?" I'm like, 52. All of them. If you want God to be happy, if that's your goal here is to have a checklist mentality in your relationship with God, all of them. And man, I hope you don't treat all of your relationships like this, because I'd hate to be your wife. How many meals do I have to have with you a year for you to be happy with me? Right? How many? You get the point, right? And so I think what I'm trying to get across to you this morning, not I think, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is this. We've got to come to grips as Christians that there's a real heaven and a real hell, and real people go to both. And my prayer is that we live with a sense of urgency in response to that, to tell people about the love of Jesus. To tell people about the love of Jesus. To tell people about the love of Jesus. Number three. We see in this text not only that He is the power of life and judgment, not only that He has the authority building on what we talked about last week, but there's an ultimate call to follow Him, right? We see, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of the life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment," right? Both. Ultimately, the authority of Jesus calls for a response. The authority of Jesus calls for a response. The message of Jesus, get this, is not neutral. Right? It's not neutral. If He has the authority to grant eternal life and to execute judgment, then His call to us demands action. To follow Jesus is not a passive decision. It requires an active and obedient response to His words. We're to listen to Him, trust Him, and align our lives with His will. The question is not whether we can understand every detail of His commands, but whether we'll surrender to His authority and to follow Him in faith. And so we can't approach our relationship with God as passive. It's active. We can't approach a Sunday morning just sitting here and saying, "Oh, Pastor was a little off today." Or, "Man, Pastor was spot on today." No, we have to leave here Sunday after Sunday. We have to leave every small group, every conversation, making a decisive, and I would even say walking in, because God meets us at the level of our expectation. And so I'm walking into church this morning already decided actively how I'm going to engage with Jesus and His Scripture as a result of spending time in His house today. I am waking up with the intention of shepherding my kids in their relationship and their walk with Jesus every day. I'm not passive about that, right? I'm not passive about that. We can't be neutral about our response to Jesus. We have to be very active in saying, "God, You're in control. I'm not. How am I supposed to be in this today?" Couple things of application, and then we'll have potluck. Number one, it's very simple. Trust in His authority. Trust in His authority. Trust in His authority. Trust that Jesus, as the Son of God, knows what is best for your life more than you. Know that Jesus, as the Son of God, knows what is best for your life. Excuse me. And when we follow Him, we're trusting that His way is the way to true fulfillment and peace. Trust in His authority. Trust in His authority. Trust that He knows what is best for your life. Trust that He knows what is best for your life. Number two, this is huge, and this is what I was talking about earlier. Live with eternity in mind. Live with eternity in mind. Recognize that the choices we make today matter eternally. That Jesus has the authority to grant life, and He's calling us to live lives that reflect the hope of eternal life. Live with the eternity in mind. Live with eternity in mind. That as you go about your day, live with the eternity in mind. Number three, for you personally, answer His call. I want you to ask yourself this question. Okay? Quietly. Have I answered the call to follow Jesus? Have I answered the call to follow Jesus? We watched two young ladies this morning answer the call to follow Jesus. Go public with their faith and say, hey, I want everybody to know. I told them before the service in the welcome center when I was meeting with them and telling them I wanted them to plug their nose, right? And all those different things and what we were going to say. We were walking through the whole thing. I said, hey, here's the deal. It's just 350 of your closest friends that are going to be watching you get in lukewarm water and be dunked. But the point is that you are going public and you're telling those 350 people that you follow Jesus and that you've answered the call to trust in Him with your life. Not neutrally, but you're going public with your faith. Have you answered the call this morning to follow Jesus? Have you answered the call to follow Jesus? And if your response today, and I'm not making, hear me, worship team's going to come. My goal this morning is to not make anybody doubt their salvation. That's not my goal. It's never my goal. But if your response to the question, have I answered the call to follow Jesus? Is I think so? Man, I want you to talk to somebody. Because that is one of the most vital assurances that we have as Christians, as Christian people, is the assurance of salvation, the assurance of our eternal hope and trust in Christ Jesus. That I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. That I know that I know that I'm a child of God and that He's in control and I'm not. And what He wants to happen today is going to happen. And however long He wants me to preach today, I'm going to preach. Deal with it. Have you answered the call to follow Jesus? Have you answered the call to follow Jesus? And so in conclusion, as we consider the authority of Jesus, I want you to remember that Jesus is not just a figure of the past. He is the living Son of God with the authority to grant life eternally and to judge. And His call is clear. He invites us to hear His voice. Follow His path. Live in the hope of eternal life. Will we respond in obedience and trust? Or will we ignore the voice of the one who holds the keys to life and death? My hope for us this morning is that we will follow Him wholeheartedly, knowing that He alone has the authority to give life and that in Him we have the fullness of joy and of peace. So every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I want to ask you, very boldly, very quickly, we're not gonna drag this out or anything like that, but I'm gonna ask you this morning. Today, do you want to answer the call to follow Jesus? And if you would say, yes, I want to answer the call to follow Jesus today, I just want you to put your hand in the air. Anybody? Okay, yep. Yeah, I want to answer the call to follow Jesus. I'm following Jesus today. I'm answering the call to follow Jesus. I'm not going to be passive about it. I'm not going to be neutral about it. I know that today is the day. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for the hands that went up today and said, I want to follow Jesus. I'm answering the call to follow Jesus. And God, I pray for them in the same way that I prayed for Taylor and for Cam earlier, God, that we as a church, as we walk alongside of each other, that we would give the best opportunity possible to pursue you. We would tell the truth in love. We wouldn't tell each other what we want to hear, but that we would tell the truth in boldness, knowing that from your lips is going to come life and judgment. And God, we want to be on the life side of that. And God, I pray that you would stir in each and every one of us a passion to follow you. God, a passion to follow you into our schools tomorrow, a passion to follow you into our workplaces tomorrow, a passion to follow you to Thailand, a passion to follow you wherever you take us, wherever you take us, into the places that it doesn't make sense. But knowing that you're in control and that you're the authority. And so we trust you and we pursue you obediently and faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand with us and sing, What a Beautiful Name It Is.